you missed us.
We're back.
Back after a bit of a break. Thrilled to be back, giving you another installment of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. This is a review of what we got done on our morning show, which we weren't able to do for a time, and then we weren't able to present because of some technical issues. But all of that has been resolved. We're healthy, and everything seems to be working.
And here you go.
Mm-hmm, knock on wood. We'll get started with the first of 5 top things. This one is number one.
Number one.
Are you familiar with the term dog fishing?
Dog fishing?
Dog fishing.
Well, there is a dog fish.
Oh, yes.
That's a shark, right?
I think that's right. I know. Yeah, you're right about that. Dog fishing is something that apparently takes place on dating apps. And the idea is to make yourself seem more appealing, more attractive to mates. You pose with a picture of a dog,
so
that when
sure,
it's when it's
sure,
your profile picture.
Yeah, well, dog fishing, that could be the sort of thing that you do. You just have a dog with you.
Right. You try and entice someone into going out on a date with you because it's a picture of you alongside a dog, but what makes it dog fishing is...
It's not your dog.
Never your dog.
Yeah.
No.
Let me borrow your dog.
Right.
Is that your dog? It's your dog bite.
But that's going to... Don't you think that's going to come up at some point? Like, tell me about your dog?
Oh, I don't want to talk about it.
This woman says she's catching men trying to dogfish her into dates with pictures of themselves alongside someone else's dog on their profile. Quote, I keep seeing profiles of guys in their late 20s to early 30s saying, don't date me unless you love dogs. Or, this is my best friend in the whole world. Or, I'll delete this app when my dog likes you. And then I get to talking, and I say, what's your dog's name? And they'll
admit, what dog?
And they'll admit they don't have a dog. It's either their sister's dog, or an ex-girlfriend's dog, or a friend's dog. They don't even know the animal's name. Then they start listing all the reasons they don't have a pet, like allergies or too much responsibility, or they don't like the smells, or they don't like animals that much. Well, that would be, yeah. That would be a potential red flag, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I'm a dog owner, and it would be a major green flag when my prospective date also has a pet that he takes care of and loves. I think a lot of women with pets would want to match with someone with the same pet as themselves, be it a lizard, snake, fish, dog, cat, or bunny.
Oh, you like lizards too? That consider that a green flag. Get it? Like a lizard? What the hell are you talking about?
Is this feeling something real?
You like lizards?
We're both lizard people. How do you not remember your sister's dog's name?
I bought you something for your birthday.
It's a hot rock.
It's a bag of flies.
Oh, well, my lizard will love this. Mm?
They're not for your lizard.
And yeah, if you have a dog in your profile picture, people are going to want to know about the dog immediately.
Well, it'd be something you would ask. Sure, it's like, what's your dog's name? What type of dog is that?
Mm-hmm. Women tend to click on pet owners, so they're doing it to get dates.
They still got those websites that are like very specific for dating, right? Like farmers and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think
I don't
so.
See them on TV as much anymore.
No, they don't need to advertise.
Oh.
The farmers all know that there's an app for them. What was it? Only Farmers or Farmers? What was it called? The Farmers Dating App. Was it? Is it called? It's not called Only Farmers, is it?
Only Farmers.
Yeah. Farmers Only. That's it. Dating site for farmers. Farmers, single farmers looking for meaningful relationships. It says here, city folks just don't get it. FarmersOnly.com was founded in 2005 to help single farmers, ranchers, and other country-minded folks with down-to-earth values to find love in the United States and Canada. And now boasts many millions of members.
Is Whatsamacallit still a thing? What was the one, the dating site for, not a dating site, hookup site for people that are already married? What was it, Dolly Madison?
Oh, yeah, I think
not
that's...
Not Dolly Madison.
Holly Madison? Holly,
no, something Madison.
Dolly Madison is a site for people that would like to date and eat zingers together. That's not...
Little Debbie.
Little Debbie.
Little Debbie Dating.
Dating.com.
Do you like Nutter Butter?
I'm looking for a man who reminds me of Fruit Pie the Magician. He would turn everything into a delicious snack cake.
Do you have a sweet tooth? I might be able to satisfy it.
You got your J-Date. That's for people of the Jewish faith. You got your Hinge.
I'm only interested in dating girls that look like Little Debbie.
And if you're not willing to wear the hat, that's a red flag.
Oh, you must wear the hat. As a matter of fact, if you sign up for the app, they send you a hat.
I tried the Sara Lee dating app, and I was very disappointed.
I got shot down by Mrs. Fields.
I'm getting
because I was actually interested in Mrs. Fields.
I'm getting out of a very sticky relationship with Mrs. Butterworth. It's complicated. You got your OK Cupid, you got your Bumble, you got your Hinge. You got one called
Hinge.
Hinge. Hinge describes itself as the dating app designed to be deleted.
What? What does that mean?
There's a Hinge lab team that works behind the scenes to perfect the science behind online dating. The app uses your location to find potential matches in your area.
And then it's gone.
And asks each user to complete a series of prompts rather than relying on the usual questions. The end goal is to find a serious relationship and not just a casual fling.
Okay.
There's also an app called Coffee Meets Bagel.
So it's just like a breakfast app? You're going to go have breakfast?
It says here they give you 6 matches who've already liked your profile at noon every single day. How does, what is Coffee Meets Bagel? I don't understand why it's called that.
Well, they have that. They used to have that one thing. It was just lunch, right?
Oh, yeah.
This would probably be just breakfast.
Okay. All right. Happn is a location-based dating app that's designed for you to meet cute with singles that you already cross paths with throughout your day.
What?
It uses your location to show you a personalized timeline of singles who frequent the places that you already go.
Okay, so you might have already seen this person.
Right. But if you're already out at the same place with them, why do you need a dating app? I'm sure that's probably a really naive question. I haven't dated in 30 years. I don't know how any of this works. I certainly don't understand.
I can see. Yeah, I can see if I can see you out there dating.
Oh no.
Like this.
Oh no. Yeah, right?
Like Tony Rand.
Well, I'd be walking around with an ascot on.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What's with the ascot?
It's for chicks, man. Yeah, because all the ideas I had to attract eligible females back in the day.
Probably obsolete now.
Well, they were obsolete then.
That's true. You were trying to use 1950s tricks.
Yeah. I was using
in the 1990s.
Yeah, I was using tricks I learned watching Father Knows Best reruns. To get dames.
Uh-huh.
Didn't quite work out. I mean, eventually it did.
Sure it did.
By the sheer luck of it all. Still marvel at the fact that I was able to make that happen.
A lightning bolt.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, if I ever come over to your house and am posing in pictures with your dogs, you'll know something's up.
You'll know something's up. Yeah, oh, boy.
That's not great.
Which dog do you want?
Oh, any of them would be great for potential chicks to, meet. Meet online. Here I am with...
Would you like to be with all of them?
Well,
or is
I think
that a little
one,
too overwhelming?
Yeah, I think you. I think the image that you'd want to project is that you're a one dog kind of person, right? If it's you and a bunch of dogs, I don't want to give off the image of it being some sort of playa in the dog world. But yeah, I would be able to throw out the name at least of whatever dog I was in the picture with. I don't know how you could forget any dog's name once you meet a dog. That just seems.
Grogu. Is that right? Did I say it right?
You got it. Yes, that's Baby Yoda's real name.
How many people do you think are naming Grogu their dogs?
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's got to be a very popular dog name now, right?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's in the top 10.
Grogu?
Yeah. Yeah. I bet it's in the top 10. Most common dog names. Here we go.
Probably depends on what city you're in.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the neighbor's dog's name is Wrigley. And then I know a lot of people whose dogs are named like Rizzo or Brizzo. A lot of Cub fans give their dogs Cub names, which is, you know, that's great. Go crazy.
My dog's name is Jose Cardinal.
This is Maury.
Hello, this is my dog, Ray Burris.
Maury Bump Wills, my Chihuahua. It's fantastic.
Not during his playing days, but when he was a banjo player on the Johnny Carson show.
I got the top five male names and the top five female names. Grogu's not in the top 10 then, but I imagine it's got to be up there.
What would you think is the most popular dog name for Star Wars fans?
Oh, wow. I mean, if you named your dog Luke, would that be... would you count that?
I think that counts.
I don't know. Top five female dog names
are... I mean, no one's going to name their dog R2-D2, are they?
I would.
Would you?
You're damn right I would.
R2?
I wouldn't call him R2-D2.
You could have one dog that's R2 and the other one's D2.
Oh, I would love that. And then every morning I would say...
R2-D2!
Where are you?
Where are you, R2-D2?
Top five female dog names are Bella, Luna, Lucy, Daisy, and Zoe. And the top five male dog names are Max, Charlie, Milo, Buddy, and Rocky.
But no Grogu. But Grogu is sexless, right?
No, Grogu's not sexless. They use male pronouns.
Okay.
For Grogu.
Who's Grogu's girlfriend?
Who do you think is more likely to choose a marijuana-inspired name? Dog owners or cat owners?
Cats.
Dog owners, actually. Far more likely to choose marijuana-inspired names than cat owners. Reefer is up 763% among dog names.
Reefer?
It's my dog, Reefer.
That marijuana makes you lazy.
Other weed-inspired names are Mary Jane and Doobie. Those are trending up, while the dog names Ganja, Dank, and Blaze are all trending down.
Now, which Doobie do you be?
This is Roger Thomas.
This is my dog, Roger Thomas.
People are naming their dogs after Friends characters. In fact, Phoebe Buffay, or Phoebe Buffay, is up 963%. The number one trending dog name of 2021 was, in fact, Grogu. So as far as trending goes, the number one name, the number one trending name for dogs was Grogu. It doesn't mean that it's in the top 10.
No,
but it's
trending.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as trending dog names, Grogu. Number one. That's great. I would name my dog Grogu. That's a good name for a dog, I should think. I don't know about naming your dog Doobie. There were some other celebrity...
Shadoobie.
Other celebrity-inspired dog names in the year 2021.
Mm-hmm.
It says the Taylor and Taylor Swift are both trending down for dog names. This is my dog, Taylor Swift. Jennifer Lopez and A-Rod joined the list, and there were dogs that are named Aretha Franklin for the first time ever in 2021. Food and beverage dog names dominating. A lot of people naming their dog Bento, Miso, and Butter.
Domino.
Mm-hmm. Other food names for dogs that were popular? Mango, Kiwi, and Cherry. And breakfast names are on the rise. The Eggo is up 106% for a dog. Eggo the dog. I dig it. I'm on board. Which Phoebe Buffay is the most popular?
Scrapple
friend?
Would be a good name.
That's not bad.
You're like Scrappy Doo.
That's not bad. Grogu, in terms of popularity, last year was up 4,063%.
There you go. Pretty good.
Other Baby Yoda, I guess before you know we learned Grogu's name, was up 197%. Boba up 105%. Obi up 79%, like Obi-Wan. And there was a 25% spike in the name Chewbacca.
What about Obi?
Yeah, I don't have anything here on the Andy Griffith Show playing a role in what people are calling their dogs. Now there's this. Men who pose shirtless on dating apps come off as unappealing and slutty.
Wait a minute.
If you want to...
Did you say slutty?
That's right. If you want to...
I'm very provocative, and I know how to push the limits, and yet not come across as slutty.
That's the thing, Frankie. You've got to push the limits, but not come across as slutty, fellas. Put a shirt on if you want to get any action on the dating apps. Researchers from the University of Colorado discovered that men who fill their Tinder profiles with shirtless pictures...
They Tinder hard.
...are perceived as being less competent and more promiscuous. These studies, participants were shown fake profiles of a young white adult man named Noah. His pictures and descriptions varied along three factors: relationship motivation, muscularity, and sexualized appearance. For example, some versions of Noah were buff, some not as much.
So me showing up in the wrestling singlet, probably not a good idea.
Well, you're wearing something.
Well, there, give me that.
Some of the...
Oh, so are you a wrestler?
Some of the...
No, why?
Why would you think that?
Do you have a dog? No, why? Because well, you're in a wrestling singlet with a dog.
Some of the profiles said they were looking for casual sex while others wanted something serious. Some were shirtless and some wore a t-shirt. Although results vary between men and women, the three dimensions, relationship motivation, muscularity, and sexualized appearance, affected people's perception of Noah. Women saw the shirtless fake as higher in riskier sexual behavior, also lower in social appeal and competence. Men agreed but did not think the shirtless
That's what
fake
I was going
was
for.
Lower in competence.
That's perfect. That's exactly what I wanted.
When Noah said he was looking for casual sex, all participants viewed him as higher in risky sexual behavior and lower in competence. Everyone found the muscular version of Noah to be the most attractive, but men saw that physique as being higher in risky sexual behavior.
Which one was the best?
Well, people liked the muscular version, but men who looked at that automatically perceived that he was, you know, slutty.
Hmm.
The researchers write here, the present findings indicate that a man's sexualized self-presentation on a dating profile, even on an app known as a site for hookups, elicits diminished perceptions of his competence and greater perceptions that he engages in risky sexual behavior. A sexualized self-presentation on a Tinder profile is perhaps the not best self-presentational choice for men wanting to make a positive impression on women. What that means is, if you want to hook up on Tinder, put a shirt on. Tinder offers advice. They say upload photos to Tinder that feature who everyone came to see.
An actual photo of you.
Get rid of your friends because this is not about them. Also, take off your sunglasses because they hide your face. Make sure your pics are in focus, and some say a smile goes a long way here.
I'm keeping the sunglasses on and the mask.
Even if you are really cut, if you're not wearing a shirt, you're not going to do as well as if you are. So, posing shirtless on a dating app, if you're a man, again, you're not going to have the best result.
What if it's like liverbelly.com, though?
I'm on an app called moobs.com.
Oh, no.
I just want to...
Hot moobs.
Yeah, I want to hook up with other moobular gentlemen like myself.
No.
We just get together and have a moobular good time.
Yeah, we just play cards.
Yeah, we just...
I mean, it's not...
Play... And then every once in a while, we'll just,
drink a lot of beer.
Yeah, and just kind of...
a lot of chips.
Give each other a little honk honk, little little cup of fun, what I'm saying? Yeah, just a cup of feel. Cop a friend on moobs.com.
No big whoop.
Number two. Oreo crackers, Oreo cookies and Ritz crackers announcing a collaboration.
Gross.
I don't know, man. Sweet and salty. That's my wheelhouse. So imagine a half an Oreo and then a Ritz cracker, but the Ritz cracker has a little extra something. It's like a peanut butter cream. So you've got Ritz cracker, peanut butter cream, then your Oreo cream, and then your Oreo cookie. It's worth pointing out that Oreo and Ritz are owned by the same company, so it's not that
sounds like crazy. An abomination.
A hybrid product featuring one Oreo cookie and one Ritz cracker with a layer of peanut butter cream and Oreo cream sandwiched in between. The limited edition collaboration available at Oreo.com/Ritz starting today at 11 o'clock.
Okay, so we're not going to put this in stores.
And it's free. You just have to pay $3.95 for shipping.
It doesn't cost that much to ship.
Well, I don't know. They keep
a cookie? Well, a cookie?
It's a pack. They're sending you a pack of these things. And they've only made 1,000 packs, so the demand is going to be high. If you don't get in right at 11 o'clock, you're not getting your Oreo Ritz cracker, as Darren calls
it.
Abomination. I don't know. I think this is worth trying. Ritz exploring more innovative partnerships and experiences to spark excitement around our iconic buttery cracker. That's according to Ritz senior brand manager Alexis Yap. That's a made-up name. Alexis Yap? All she does is yap, yap, yap about crackers. Alexis Yap saying here, we couldn't resist the opportunity to collaborate with our friends at Oreo on a snack that's part salty cracker, part chocolate cookie, and entirely delicious. This idea has been floating around for some time, but they finally made it happen. Oreo senior brand manager Sydney Krantzman echoing Yap's statement, saying that the product development team was psyched to
bring new Sydney Krantzman.
The product development team was psyched to put a new spin on the classic combination of chocolate and peanut butter. Quote, at Oreo, we are constantly exploring playful ways to excite our fans, from innovative limited edition flavors to unexpected collaborations. Man, would that be a job, just coming up with nonsense for crackers and cookies all day. That's somebody's job. You sit in a room and you think, what kind of cookie nonsense can I come up with today? Hey, don't we own Ritz crackers? Couldn't we do something with that?
Let's take the pants off the elves and see if anyone notices.
That would be a great... You know how they do, like, oops, all crunch berries? If Keebler had the guts
to put out a cookie called "Oops, the elves aren't wearing pants."
Well, no, we're not going to draw attention to it. We're just going to.
Oh no,
we're just going to take their pants off and see if anyone says anything.
EL Fudge. P.S. That's not fudge. Now you've got something. Keebler, you cowards. Give us pantsless elves.
Keebler, you cowards.
We're going to tell
you. Why don't you stand for something?
You're going to fall for anything, Keebler. Keebler elves aren't wearing pants. So just.
Because they've got pants on, right? Inside that tree?
Yeah, Ernie the elf wears yellow pants.
Oh, he's got yellow pants. Yes. He's losing those.
Well, I'll tell you, he wanted to with me. I was assaulted by Ernie the elf at a...
Well, that was just a mascot.
It was a person in a costume kept grabbing my butt back in the day.
Found out later it was a cute girl.
Yeah, after I smacked him really hard. Well, I didn't know. I mean, I was a teenager. And Ernie the Keebler Elf kept wanting to play grab ass with me. And I'd said, that's enough. I remember saying, that's enough, Ernie. And Ernie wasn't taking the hint. And then finally I held off and cracked Ernie as hard as I could. And I hear
as
this.
As hard as you could?
Oh, yeah. Well, because I just assumed it was some pedo in the costume. So I was like, that's enough. And I hauled off and cracked right in the arm as hard as I could. And then I heard an ouch that was clearly not from an old man, but from a young woman. And, yeah, I felt bad about it. But also, keep your big elf mitts to yourself. So in your pantsless elf dream, Darren, is it, like, occasionally there'll be a package where they're not wearing pants?
You just see
or would it be, they would print out the whole run, they're not wearing pants?
Well, you just see if anyone notices.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the logo.
Kind of like it's that, like the episode of MASH. Remember when Hawkeye went walking around naked to see if anyone would notice?
Did anyone notice?
Eventually they did, yes.
Look at this logo. It's Ernie the Keebler Elf.
Well, see, you
what's
can't tell.
Missing from the logo?
Right.
Pants.
Well, you can't see. He's tucked in the tree.
Mm.
You don't know if he's got pants on.
Maybe that's why he's in the tree. Maybe, like, he only comes out of the tree. Like, we don't see what's going on in the tree.
It's like Edgar Winter. I only come out at night.
Did they get rid of the Keebler Elves? That can't be right. The number one question here on Google is what happened to the Keebler Elves?
Mm.
That can't be right. I'm certain.
They've already been eliminated.
Mm-hmm. I don't care for that. Come on, you cowards. Give us some sort of soft batch. It's a Keebler soft batch, and he's not wearing pants. I'm not talking about the cookies. Oh, yeah.
And if anyone anyone questions you, you just reference Winnie the Pooh.
There you go. Keebler fudge stripes. And Ernie's decided that he's not going to be held hostage by your social mores. If he wants to whip it out, if Ernie wants to let his freak flag fly, then by God.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
That's what's going to happen.
And he's wearing Crocs.
In my mind, he was wearing stiletto heels, but yours makes more sense for walking around inside a tree.
Number three.
I have a little bit of breaking news here.
Is this good news or bad news?
Well, I guess it depends on your perspective.
Okay, all right.
I mean, listen, there's already a bunch of heartbreaking, awful, awful news. This isn't comparable to that. Although potentially, I suppose it is. A massive asteroid over a mile wide is about to make a closer than normal trip past the Earth. They say that it's going to be so close that you'll be able to spot it in the sky. Now, asteroids flying past our planet is not a big deal.
Can you imagine?
That happens all the
time.
Can
you imagine an asteroid going by that caused like a breeze? Now, that would be
Oh,
that's whoa.
Well, that's pleasant, actually.
Whoa, I kind of
really cooled things down.
Woo!
That's not generally how woo! That works.
Well, that was a little nipply, wasn't it?
Brr.
Woo!
No.
Oh, woo! That sent a little shiver up the old.
Asteroids fly past the Earth on a regular basis, but this one, asteroid 7335, is bigger than many asteroids. It's 1.1 miles across. So for comparison, and this is what I always love about this story,
yeah.
When you say it's an asteroid that's 1.1 miles across, we can't figure that out. So what the guys in lab coats have to do is give us comparisons.
Okay.
It's 4 times larger than the Empire State Building. And more than twice as large as the Burj Khalifa in Dubai. It's also as tall. That's how wide it is. They say it's as tall as about 350 giraffes.
That's kind of hard to...
If you were to stack 350 giraffes on top of each other...
Couldn't we say it's like the size of a mountain? I mean, because that's already made out of rock.
Yeah, I guess...
That
would make more sense. But it's very fanciful to imagine stacking 350 giraffes on top of each other and then be as long as
four Empire State Buildings. That.
Well, no, it's for science, Darren. It's for science. These are acrobatic giraffes.
Brr!
The mammoth astronaut will make its closest encounter with our planet on Friday. But I should assure you, they say it will safely pass by with no threat of impact. This asteroid was discovered on May 1st, back in 1989. A number.
And it's
another
back.
Summer. Sound of the Funky Drummer. It's one of 2,265 space rocks that NASA has in a folder that they call potentially hazardous asteroids. To be considered potentially hazardous, an asteroid has to be at least 460 feet across, and it has to come within 4.6 million miles of the Earth's orbit around the sun. That may sound close, but that is the distance. It's more than 19 times farther away than the moon is from the Earth. So we should be okay. This thing is going to come within 2.5 million miles of the Earth, which is just over 10 times farther away than the moon. Not only is this the closest it will come to our planet since its discovery in 89,
yeah,
but it's the closest that it will come to us until at least the year 2194.
Oof.
They think the flyby will be a good opportunity for scientists to take better observations of the asteroid, as well as a chance for amateur astronomers and stargazers to see this thing in the sky. You want to look up at the sky, and it's between the Hydra crater and Corvus.
Gotcha.
Constellations.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Take a look near the constellation Hydra.
Okay.
A telescope will be needed to see it, as you will not be able to see it with the naked eye.
Mm.
But if you got a telescope, there you go. If this thing were to slam into planet Earth, yeah. God forbid.
Yeah.
It has happened where boulder-sized space rocks have slammed into the Earth, but nothing as big as this. There was one that exploded over Russia in 2013 as it burned up in the atmosphere, and the explosion of that had a force 30 times greater than the atomic bomb we dropped on Hiroshima. Now, that was only 65 feet across, that asteroid that did that in Russia in 2013. That was 65 feet across. This thing is 1.1 miles.
Boy.
So that wouldn't be great.
What they call an attention getter.
Yeah, right. And of course, there was an asteroid that was 200 feet across that exploded over Siberia in 1908. That had a much more devastating force. That explosion flattened 1,300 square miles of forest. It's something called the Tunguska event. So that's an asteroid that was 200 feet across. An asteroid that's 1.1 miles across blowing up, well, that wouldn't be great. The heat generated by the event would cause a substantial amount of ocean water to evaporate,
You darn right.
Leading to major shifts in the weather. Because here's the thing. Chances are, if it were to slam into us, it would hit an ocean. Because most of the planet's covered by water.
I got
that would be the best case scenario. You would much rather have this thing slam into the ocean than slam into, you know, Topeka, Kansas. But even then, if it slams into the ocean, a lot of ocean water would evaporate instantly. The asteroid hitting the ocean, though, would probably not cause a massive tsunami, they say. That's the stuff of science fiction movies. What would happen is, if a mile-wide asteroid were to explode over land, it would potentially cause a global calamity with long-lasting impacts.
See, I might have a notion to go swimming in the ocean. It's going to be nobody's business but mine.
There you go. NASA is currently working on missions that could redirect asteroids away from our planet. That's probably a good idea. We should be fine. Should be.
Number four.
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 Are you ready for a new horror movie? It's called...
In what way?
Well, this is right up your alley. I think this is something... Seems like something you would have come up with. It's called Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Where Winnie the Pooh is somehow murdering people.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you can get away with this because the copyright has expired on Winnie the Pooh. Is that how they're able to do this? Because having Winnie the Pooh go around killing people seems like a...
And leaving no prints.
The indie horror title is in post-production from writer-director Reese Frake Waterfield. It stars Amber Dog Thorne, Maria Taylor, and Danielle Scott. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, said to be a grisly retelling of the Winnie the Pooh legend.
This is what really went down.
Oh, no. Winnie the Pooh, of course, is a famous fictional anthropomorphic teddy bear written into existence by English literary legend A.A. Milne. Character first became famous back in 1926 with a picture book collection called The House at Pooh Corner. He would turn into a household name when he was turned into a Disney movie in 1961. The bear is back with a brand new look.
Who did the voice for Winnie the Pooh?
Oh, what is that cat's name? Oh, bother. Oh, he's a legendary voice actor, but I can't remember his name off the tip of my tongue. Oh, bother! He did a bunch of voices, but they all kind of sounded like Winnie the Pooh. Jim Cummings is the guy who does it now, or no, he used to do it. The original guy was Sterling Holloway.
Sterling Holloway.
Yeah. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Winnie's back, and he's up to no good. Not a lot known about this forthcoming horror film, but it looks terrifying. A lot of barnyard animal masks.
And who's going to be Winnie the Pooh?
Well,
Seth Rogen?
No, I don't think anybody like famous is in this movie. I mean, I didn't recognize any of the names that I just shared with you. Maybe these are big guys, big actors in the field. Look at this. Look at how terrifying that is. It's like a killer with a Winnie the Pooh mask.
No, that's payback time.
Winnie the Pooh is going to take a grisly turn. We don't know if the other characters from the 100-acre wood, Christopher Robin, Kangaroo and Roo, or Eeyore will be making appearances.
Now you got something to be a mope about, Eeyore.
This is not to be confused with the Winnie the Pooh licensed character. See, as long as Winnie the Pooh's not wearing a red shirt, you can do whatever you want. Because as of January 1st of this year, Winnie the Pooh entered the public domain. Everyone in the Winnie the Pooh universe entered the public domain with the exception of Tigger.
Just been...
You can't touch Tigger yet.
Biding their time.
Mm-hmm. The entire Winnie the Pooh universe, with the exception of Tigger, entered the public domain, allowing anyone to work on their original iterations of Pooh. and you can include them in your creative work. That's movies, that's musicals, that's plays. So get ready for that.
Have your way with Pooh.
Mm-hmm. As long as he's not wearing a red shirt. Now, if the shirt becomes red with blood, I wonder what happens then.
Yeah, the splatter.
In other news, they're working on a Speed Racer live-action TV series. A live-action scripted series based on Speed Racer.
Well, that's perfect for you.
J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot will executive produce this. And yeah, I'm all in. Ron Fitzgerald and Hiram Martinez will write, executive produce, and serve as co-runners on this project, which received what they call a straight-to-series order from Apple. There's no pilot. Make a series.
Just do it.
This will be, they say, an exciting take on the source material. Live-action series for Speed Racer has been in development for years under Bad Robot's overall deal with Warner Brothers. The original cartoon created by Tatsuo Yoshida and adapted into an anime series in the 60s follows the hero Speed Racer and his beloved car, the Mach 5, as he embarks on various adventures that involve his father, Pops, his younger brother, Spritel, and his older brother, Rex Racer,
who, unbeknownst to Speed Racer, is secretly his brother, Rex Racer.
Are you my brother? Are you my brother, Racer X?
Yes, I am, Speed, but you must never know this.
I just passed out again. For no good reason. You really should go see a doctor.
Yeah, Speed Racer, in every episode,
if he barely just turns his head,
he gets conked on the
head. He knocks himself out.
He gets conked on the head and passes out.
I think you could have some serious plaque.
That's not good.
No.
It's not good. You get concussed that many times, Speed. I don't know that you should be driving at all. Now, this is my absolute favorite moment. This was the last episode of Speed Racer, where Speed finally has the courage to confront his brother, Racer X, and his brother just sucker punches him, which he should have seen coming because he gets sucker punched in every dang episode.
How can you call it sucker punching anymore?
It's true. It's true. When it happens every week.
Racer X. Are you my brother? Are you my brother, Rex Racer?
Just.
And he's out cold. That's all. Every week, every episode, this dummy finds a way to get knocked out unconscious. That's why I love him. I don't name another hero that spends half of his time sleeping. Just out cold. He's just the greatest. I don't know if that'll happen in the live action as much, because I feel like our opinions of this have changed.
Racer in the world, don't be afraid.
Rex, wherever you are, I promise to try to be the best racer in the world.
I'm giving up being a racer, and from now on, I'll be a full-time international secret agent without a name or country. Goodbye, Speed.
Now, that's when Racer X decided he was done racing. He was going to be a spy. Ah, it was the greatest episode ever. When that final episode aired on my block, we went out of our minds. The greatest ever. Are you my brother? Are you my brother, Racer X?
You know I'm going to have to choke you out now.
They made a movie of Speed Racer in 2008, and it was not terrific. So I don't know if live action can work. We'll find out.
Number five.
6% of Americans think they could beat a grizzly bear in hand-to-hand combat.
Well, go right ahead.
I know. This is the 6% of Americans that I would really like to see try and take on a bear in hand-to-hand combat.
That is the 6%.
Like, if you think you could defeat a bear in hand-to-hand combat, it's very important that you try that.
I think that, yes, you deserve that opportunity.
New study based on what members of the animal kingdom Americans think they could take on. Of the 15 animals listed, rat came in last place,
72% of Americans think they could take on a rat.
Well, I don't know that a rat is going to stick around and fight, are they? Aren't they just going to kind of like scurry off?
Well, that's the thing. Rats are faster than you.
Yeah, they're certainly quicker.
Right. If we could just defeat rats in combat, they wouldn't have spun a plague that wiped out a third of Europe.
Did you notice how I was willing to admit that the rat was quicker than I was? Not necessarily faster.
It says here that 69 and 61% of Americans are confident they could take on a house cat and a goose.
Well, why would you fight a house cat?
Have you ever had a house cat get upset with you? They start screaming at you, and you think about like, all right, this is gonna happen. We're getting in a fight here.
I'm not gonna fight a house cat.
If it was like attacking you, if it was going crazy. Have you ever watched that show, My Cat from Hell? And you think, oh boy,
Is Charles Grodin in that?
Probably. Respondents then start to lose their confidence after their fighting abilities. Less than half think they could take on a medium-sized dog. Only 30...
Why would you fight a dog?
Well, just... If you had to.
I don't think I'm ever going to have to.
30% think they could beat an eagle in a fight. If they had to.
What?
8% of Americans think they could beat a gorilla, an elephant, and a lion in a fight. You're out of your mind. You can't beat a gorilla, an elephant, or a lion in a fight. What's the matter with you? No one should think you could beat a lion with your bare hands. You're not the mighty Hercules.
How many gallons of saliva do you think you produce in a year?
Gallons?
Yeah.
100.
That's not bad. 96.
Really?
You only produce 133 gallons of urine in a year. Well, but 96 gallons of saliva. Doesn't that seem like that's off?
You think it should be more?
Well, yeah.
No. Because if you're not... You're thinking because it's always in your mouth that you're always producing it, but you're not always producing it. Otherwise, you'd be a faucet person, just walking around spitting all the time. 6% of Americans think they could fight a grizzly bear with their bare hands and win. Grizzly bears can weigh up to 1,700 pounds. What are you going to do with your bare hands with a grizzly bear?
Well, I'm going to need to wear long sleeves for one thing. I am not going in there with a t-shirt or a muscle shirt.
Who got you in a wrestling singlet?
No, I'm not doing that.
It's the required uniform.
No, I'll end up looking like the Underwood devil ham thing again. I'm not putting on a singlet.
They say that they were surprised that there's not much statistical difference between men and women towards the top of the scale.
You know what? If I wore a singlet, a wrestling singlet,
uh-huh.
It would not be... People would not find that attractive.
Uh-huh.
A bear might.
No.
A bear might find...
Is this working for you?
Yummy. Oh,
is that where they have the diseased bear jamboree?
Yeah. A human being would want to look the other way.
Uh-huh.
But a bear might be like, that's...
Look at that casing.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. Look at that natural. Oh
my,
is that
plump and delicious.
Is that a natural casing on that
my
thing?
Goodness. My goodness.
What have they got that thing wrapped in? It's like, that's for the taking right there. Look at me. My mouth's watering. Look, I can't stop it.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was Dave and Darren's top five things. It was great to bring it back.
Feels good.
You know, it really
feels
does.
Real good.
It really does. Until we get a chance to give you another edition of Dave and Darren's top five things, thanks for downloading and subscribing and leaving reviews. And of course, you know, listening to it. Until we get a chance to do it again, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot.
Davenport. Yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on. And it just don't stop.
East Moline.
Yeah, they keeping it hot.
Is it over until I say it's over?
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.